Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by AMC Networks Shudder. Try Shudder free for 30 days. Go to Shudder.com. That's Shudder.com. And use promo code GHOST. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, where did the snack boxes go and why would a ghost take them? An ominous message appears in the mirror of an unsuspecting traveler, and no shortage of strange activity from the living and the dead torment a family in their home.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, if you like the show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Go to ghostpodcast.com or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes of the show, advanced episodes of the show, free e-copy of the book and more at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to the stories here today. I see we have a mirror story.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Okay.
I know you like the mirror stories.
Yeah.
So that's coming up here in just a bit. 855-853-4802, the number to call and share your experiences with us. Let's go to our first one. It says, I wanted to tell you about an experience that I had when I was 12 years old. I am 33 now, but this experience is so vivid in my mind. When I was young, my great-grandparents always made sure there was juicy fruit gum and oatmeal cream pies at their house for all the grandchildren when we visited. Both of them passed away, and a few years later, we moved into their house. One day, I got off the bus and walked up to the front door. I started to feel cold and noticed that the door wasn't locked. I looked through the curtain and noticed there was a dent in the sofa cushion. When I opened the door, the indention went away, and there was a rush of ice-cold air through the door and me. I remember standing still and feeling breath on the back of my neck. It freaked me out, but I continued to stand. I waited because I got this overwhelming sense of calmness. I then heard, as loud as if someone were standing right behind me, someone told me to go look behind the kitchen door. That is where our chest freezer was. That is also where the gum and oatmeal cream pies were kept. I walked into the kitchen and found the gum and oatmeal pies on the freezer. I thought it was strange because at that time my parents were barely scraping by. We didn't ever get those types of things. Anyway, I proceeded to eat pie as a snack and put a pack of gum in my backpack.
I then put the pies in the cabinet and left the gum on top of the freezer. Later, when my mom got home, I said, "Thanks for the treat. It was nice." She looked at me puzzled and said that she didn't buy anything like that. I said, "Then how did I eat an oatmeal cream pie and put a pack of gum in my backpack?" She then asked me to show me where the box was and the gum. I went to the cabinet. There was no box. There was no wrapper in the garbage. There was no gum. It was all so real. I'm still freaked out thinking about it. The house has been demolished, but there's still a very strange yet calm feeling when you go to that part of the property. Thanks for letting me share the story. I'm new to the whole podcast community, but love listening to your show.
I would love a whole diet made of ghost food like that. That's awesome.
Does it disappear in your system as well so that you don't have the calories?
I'm assuming it does.
I don't think we've ever had a story like that.
No, that's really cool.
Where you eat food that doesn't exist, and then, but I'm sure, I mean, there's like so many senses that were involved in that too. Because it's not like, oh, I just, you know, I saw that over there and then it's not there. I mean, it's like, okay, well, your sight, maybe you could argue that. But they found the pies and the gum. They would have had to physically touch them and open them. Mm-hmm. And then taste them and consume them and smell them. Is it like you're using every sense?
Yeah.
You would have heard the wrappers being open. I mean, if one of those things were off, you'd be like, this is weird. I'm crinkling the wrapper for the pie, but I'm not hearing it. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was there. And then for it just to be completely gone. What is that? Why would that?
It's ghost food.
It's just like, what's the purpose, though? Is it like something there that's like, oh, here's a treat for you?
No, the purpose was to be able to, you know, for the grandparent ghost to give them that.
Okay.
That feeling of, hey, you know, you came to our house again and mm-hmm. there's always the stuff there waiting for you.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole point.
That it was there.
Still. Yeah.
Yeah. That's neat. That was I love that because it was a completely unique story, which can be rare sometimes. Thank you for that. All right, back to the ghost stories in just a moment. I'm going to venture to guess you're into spooky things, considering you're listening to our program. Just a wild guess. If you are, have you checked out AMC Network Shudder yet? It's a premium streaming video service. It super serves fans of all degrees of horror and thriller. So whether you're super into like everything from slasher to gory to more, you know, psychological thriller, you name it, it is there. If you like spooky stuff, and again, like I said, I'm kind of guessing you're into that because you're listening to this show, you're going to love AMC's Shudder. There's some streaming services have some spooky stuff, but this is like all that just in one. It's the cornucopia of freaky content. I absolutely love it. And you guys can try it for free for 30 days because they like us and we like them. You can try Shudder for free for 30 days. Just go to Shudder, Shudder. That's how you spell it, .com. Use our promo code GHOST and you can try it for 30 days absolutely free. Now, there are tons of awesome original series on here. One of them, The Ranger, I like. That's where a bunch of teenagers run in the face against an unhinged park ranger who has an axe to grind, who's kind of crazy. And it's kind of puts yourself like, you know, into your teenage years going, oh, that could very well have possibly been me if the park ranger was insane. I like some of the documentary stuff on here. There's Eli Roth's History of Horror. I get into documentaries and it is awesome. They go into the history of all different folks as far as if they're an author, if they're a movie maker, all sorts of stuff. Like Stephen King has been featured, Quentin Tarantino, Bruce Campbell. It's awesome. It's really, really interesting to kind of hear the story behind some of the biggest horror collections that are out there. But this is just a fraction. There's classic horror movies on here too. The Day of the Dead, Black Sunday, some stuff even that you may have like remembered watching years ago that you rented on VHS or saw in like the middle of the night and go, what was that? I've never seen that again. Boom, it's back. Yes, they have so many interesting, unique things that are both new and classic and just awesome. Anyway, you guys, like I said, try it for 30 days, absolutely free. Go to Shudder, SHUDD.com and use our promo code GHOST. That's SHUDDER.com. Promo code GHOST. They got apps. They got all that for you. Some of the exclusive titles they got right now, Dead Wax, Horror Noir, Lizzie, Mandy, Monster Party Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich, Stan Lee's Lucky Man, Discovery of Witches. There's all sorts of ones that you may have heard folks talking about. The Ranger, which I just mentioned, that's a new one that has come out in the last couple of weeks, really. There's great stuff out there. So anyway, check it out for yourself. Get 30 days absolutely free. If you're looking for some good summer viewing, good freaky stuff, Shudder, SHUDDER.com, and use promo code GHOST. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hey guys, this is Katie from New Mexico. I've called in before. I had the haunted house that the spirit seemed to target the male roommate the most. Anyways, I wanted to get your opinion on two different things, and I hope I don't sound too crazy. The first is I'm not sure if I somewhat have a gift. I know Jenny doesn't believe in consequences. I seem to... Oh, hang on. Go ahead.
Coincidences. I totally believe in consequences because I'm a parent.
It says consequences, but yes, coincidences.
Coincidences.
Yes. I seem to have them frequently. For example, I was thinking my dog looked like Luck Dragon from Neverending Story. And later that day, I see a meme of the Luck Dragon. This sort of stuff happens to me quite a bit. Also, I get deja vu, but we have it for several minutes. Strongly feels like I've gone through it before. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Now for my story. I work in the film industry and sometimes I leave town for work. One show I was working on, we had to go to the mountains. Some of the crew stayed at a tiny motel in a tiny town. My coworker and I had a little suite. It had an apartment feel and was separated from the motel building. I stayed in the bedroom while my coworker stayed on the day bed in the living room. I arrived before anyone else and worked and would hear footsteps outside. I didn't think anything of it because I figured it was the manager or a traveler exploring. That night, I had a dream. It felt very, very real. I dreamt a man broke into our room and walked into my bedroom. I convinced myself it was a dream because I could not move my body at all. The next day at work, the medic was telling a group of us that he kept hearing footsteps outside of his room. He'd peek outside to check on the truck and didn't see anyone. Later that night, he had nightmares as well. He also said he took a hot shower and the word die appeared in the mirror. Now, I do think that it may have been a prank from a previous guest using shaving cream in the mirror, but I told my coworker about this and she too had nightmares. Do you think it was a consequence of all three of us having nightmares or coincidence? They kept putting consequence, a coincidence that all three of us had nightmares. Thank you for having this wonderful outlet. No one in my family believes in this stuff. Most of my family are atheists and if they're Christian, they definitely do not believe in ghosts.
I don't think it was a coincidence. I think that there was something about the location that made them all three have nightmares.
But what?
Something not good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good ghosts that come and say, oh, I'm going to give you a nightmare tonight.
And write die in your mirror. I suppose, I mean, if any part of it could be a coincidence, it could be the mirror.
Yeah.
But the fact that all three have the nightmare, I think that raises a little more likelihood that there's something else going on.
I mean, that could have been a previous guest that did it as a joke, like the way sometimes you leave red rum written in the mirror.
Sure.
For fun.
That happens.
Yeah.
Yes. And if housekeeping goes, mirror's clean, and they don't clean it.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise. Mm-hmm. So, no. It'd be great if we got like a story like that and we traced it back like, oh God, that's around the same time we were at that hotel.
Yeah.
Same room. Awesome. So, yeah. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Next one says, this house is a nice ranch-style house on a quiet little street in a residential neighborhood. The moment we moved into this house, it had a way of speaking to us. The first weekend, my mother spent this weekend alone in it. She slept in the living room floor, as we had no furniture there yet. She says a clicking in the wall kept her awake. She didn't figure out what it was, but a ticking in the living room wall. She started moving boxes and stuff that weekend. She was putting away my brother's clothes in the dresser drawer, and behind her, she heard a violent rattle. She slowly turned around to see the closet door shaking violently by itself. It was summer, and we were new to this neighborhood. My brother and I scoped out the entire house and all its nooks and crannies. We came to realize that the house had only had a mind of its own, but a bizarre one at that. My first instinct to the basement was that it reeked. I have no idea what, but it was just putrid. I hated that basement. There was a room in the back underneath my bedroom that just gave me the creeps. We found a boarded-off shower in the bathroom in the basement. Curious kittens we were. We pried it apart and found no dead bodies, just living spiders. We investigated. We heard noises upstairs like people talking and walking around. Intruders. We fled up the stairs to catch the culprits. No one was there. That's odd. They must have escaped. So, we were investigating other crannies in particular, this closet. Mom never told us about her incident, so we had no idea what happened to her until after we moved out. His closet was a creep hole. It was deep and square with shelving on both sides, and it was dark in there. It's plain eerie. We're looking for toys, and all of a sudden, we both felt very eerie. We darted out of that closet as fast as we could, neither of us saying why we left so suddenly. Once in the living room, we both mentioned the creepy closet and its agenda. There was something in there, not human, nor visible to the human eye. Then we heard the voices downstairs. Thinking these intruders came back in the house, we crept downstairs, grabbed our toy weapons, and proceeded downstairs. We called out, "Hello, who's down here?" Once we hit the bottom step, silence. We ran all over the basement and found nothing, and that's when the voices were upstairs again. We checked both floors a couple of times, but the last time we went downstairs, we became frozen and did not want to venture back upstairs to discover the unearthly culprits. We hid behind the basement bar until our mother got home. We waited for the first sign of her presence and ran up to greet her with our tale of horror. She looked at us a little funny and then mentioned that she believed us and we better keep the doors and windows locked so no one could kidnap us. I reminded her that it's hard for a ghost to rob someone. At least we thought it was funny at the time. Mom's noticing the back doors open every morning before she leaves for work. She questions us and asks us why we kept opening the door at night. Neither of us has yet something linked to opening that door next to my bedroom across from the basement. Maybe a ghost is going to work earlier than her, or maybe the ghost is coming home drunk after a long night of wandering the streets. Who knows the things that were already telling us it was there. Strange cars would park across the street and stare at our house. Now we felt like refugees hiding from kidnappers. Here we're peering out windows wondering why strangers were staring at our home. We were hiding like something was going to get us, but perhaps what was going to get us was inside. Strange things kept persisting at that house. At supper time, a raunchy smell would envelop the kitchen and linger around for a few moments before leaving as it came. We didn't see any ghost fart, but we sure smelt it. The objects would start doing their things. My play phone went off by itself in my bedroom one afternoon while we made dinner. It's like a cell phone. The keys have to be punched for it to work, so something took a liking to that toy and started playing it. I went into my room to find it in the corner, untouched, but playing. I took the thing apart, and as soon as I left the room, it still played. So needlessly to say, the thing found the garbage. Our doorbell started ringing on its own accord after the play phone got dumped. It was usually the back door. We'd be in the living room watching TV, and the back doorbell would ring. The two doors had different rings. The front door had two dings, like ding-dong. You could tell it was that door. But the back door had one ring-like ding, and if someone wanted to get your attention, it'd go ding-ding-ding really annoyingly. Well, the door was annoying when it rang by itself, but at first we thought it was neighbors running up the house and running away as fast as they could. It wouldn't be that hard to hide instantly if that were the case. So we had a weird house with weird people around. Nothing unusual, right? A fall set in and things changed again in the house on the corner. The heaters were turned on, which would run by the water heater in the basement. The thing fired up and made a gurgling noise, so you knew when it'd start blowing some heat. Never blew out heat as electric heaters do, but when the heat was on, the vents would gurgle and pour out its heat. The heaters went as far as making rattling sounds that we thought were defected, so the landlord was called over and found nothing wrong with them, just saying that they're old and such. Heaters were taken apart. The dumb thing still rattled. I was isolated on my side of the house, so my mother and my brother got their share of the side of the house, and I had my own end. One night, I heard a girl's voice in my closet. I have no idea what the heck she said, but she made it clear that she was hanging around in my room at the start of another aura. My brother started having nightmares or something. He claimed he couldn't sleep in his room. Something was keeping him awake in there. and the voices in my room kept me up too. Things were not looking pretty for the trio on the corner. Then came the burning sensation smell. It was everywhere in the house. I kept telling them that something was burning somewhere in that house. It smelled like burnt rubber, and it would not leave. I checked the house everywhere, and nothing could contribute to the source. As the weather got even colder, the attitudes and demeanor of the family changed too. Some nights the house would talk. On these particular nights, it'd take turns on us. Other oddities were things that would go missing, would turn up in mysterious places. The nonstop doorbell that we discovered wasn't a prankster, because in the middle of winter, we would have seen footprints in the snow, in which there wasn't. We knew our house was haunted, but failed to recognize how bad. In early spring, the house was set to burn down by a mischievous prankster. At the same instance, my mother saw a black hooded figure grimace at her on the corner before she entered the house and discovered the disaster. Luckily, not much was damaged. That was the first year. There's more. It only goes deeper. But that's for another story.
I think most of what went on was paranormal, but I think there may be a stigma about that house, and that's why some kid tried to burn it down and the doorbell rings and everybody runs off. It's probably the haunted house on the block.
Yeah, like a public stigma.
Mm-hmm.
People know that there's something about it.
Yeah.
I suppose if you think that there's a haunting with the house and you're parking in front of it or walking by and staring, it only plays into it when you suddenly have little eyes peeping through the windows like, what's going on out there?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just innocently doing it. But then the person on the outside is like, oh, my God, a ghost.
Yeah.
You know, just it kind of creates that cycle that goes with it of just weird, nervous energy. Thanks for sharing that that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Another letter here, it says, hey guys, this isn't a ghost story. I haven't heard a story like this on your podcast, but I think you'll find it to be a spiritual one. In March of 2006, my father was at his annual heart checkup in a city about 30 minutes from his home. While leaving the doctor's office to return to work, he was going to use the parking lot exit closest to him. As he began to pull out onto the street, he had an overwhelming feeling that he needed to back up and use the other exit that was on the other side of the parking lot. It was such an overpowering feeling that he couldn't help but just do it. He backed up, turned around, and as he approached the other exit, he saw an ambulance with its lights flashing. There was a man on a stretcher outside of the ambulance, and EMTs were working on him. There was also a distraught woman standing in the grass nearby. My dad recognized the woman, so he parked his car and ran to her. Let's rewind to a day or so before my father's heart appointment. His father, my grandfather, was having some annoying back pain. Being the stubborn farmer that he was going to fight through it. On the morning of my father's heart appointment, my grandfather decided the pain was too much and told my grandmother that she needed to drive him to the emergency room. He did not want her to call an ambulance and insisted on going to the hospital about 30 minutes away. My grandmother drove as fast as she could, but about a block before they reached the hospital, my grandfather seized up in the car. She had to pull over to the curb. I believe she called 911 from her cell phone, and an ambulance was there within a matter of minutes. Unfortunately, my grandfather had suffered a massive heart attack, and there was nothing the EMTs could do. As my grandmother stood on the grass in the state of shock and devastation, she looked up, and there, out of all the people in the world, stood my father, her son. Something had told him to go to the exact place where his mother was and where his father had just passed away. Something sent my father to her so that she wasn't alone in the greatest time of need. I think everyone who believes there's more to this life than what we can see has a story. This is mine. I love your show. Keep up the great work. Aaron in the Midwest.
Could it have been his father? Being that it was that close. The father that had just died.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's just, it's kind of one of those stories where it's like everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
No coincidences. You know, I think that's completely what that was.
Yeah.
In that one. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us here on the show. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, my name is April. I'm calling from Oberlin, Ohio. I just had an experience that keeps coming back around with my grandmother. She actually passed away in November of 2018. And she died at 98 years old. She fought breast cancer for several years. Who would think to get diagnosed with breast cancer at I think 92 she got diagnosed. She did put up a fight, but unfortunately she was too old to undergo any form of chemo radiation just for the simple fact that she wouldn't survive. So the last couple of years of her life, she was in a nursing home. And the last day, actually, on Earth here, between me and my mom and my brother and my husband, she was never left alone. She was in a hospice care room. And it was actually the last day. My mom decided she was going to go get everybody something to eat. And it was right after she left, me and my husband were in the room, and that's when Grandma passed. And we all make jokes that she wouldn't have been able to do it with Mom there, so she was waiting for her to leave so that she could, you know, not be as affected as, let's say, I was, because I was actually there. But when it actually happened, you know, things pass and you get the funeral arrangements and everything. And it was a couple of days later that we had a private showing. It was just me, my mom, my brother, and my husband in the room. And this was the same funeral home that my grandfather, his funeral and his showing was held in 1995. And when you enter the large showing room, I guess you could call it a showing room, there was two antique lamps, at least 7 foot tall, probably, you know, 40s or 50s style, with the bubble glass, one on the left side of her casket and one on the right side of her casket. And the one on the right side of the casket was not lit. And we're standing there. I'm very numb. It was very awkward. I know my mom did what my grandmother wished, the way she did the service with having it be private. My grandma had a big, strong opinion that if you didn't come visit me, get to come visit me in death. So we upheld her wishes. And as we were standing there, I'm just, you know, we're all grieving in our own different ways. And I just couldn't take standing there anymore. Like, it was, I had been numb, essentially. This woman helped raise me, and mom's a single mom. And between her and grandma, I had a mom and a dad figure, if you will. Both very strong, independent female figures. And I don't know if I mentioned, the light bulb on the right side of the casket, it was not turned on. And I couldn't take it anymore, I turned to go and leave, and the light bulb on the left side, the light bulb in the left lamp, blows out. And we all kind of stop and look at it. And the funeral director comes in, and he made the joke that she blew out the one on the right side yesterday when they moved her casket in the room to set everything up and make sure it looked okay with us, with the flower arrangements. And then, so I just, you know, flagged it off as, you know, old building, old lamps. And then we get to go to the car, to the funeral procession. And as I'm sitting there, my husband's helping carry the casket in. I'm in the car. It's, you know, November in Ohio. And my car stereo turns itself to 18 and then 17. And it just stays at 17. I thought that was a little strange, so I turned it back up. And then a couple days later, I'm at work, and I'm a server in a restaurant, Cheddar Bay Biscuits, Red Lobster, what. And we have different, we have music throughout the restaurant, and each side has a different, like, nozzle that you can turn up or down to keep, you know, the music at a comfortable level, depending on the influx of guests, if it's lunchtime or dinner time, how many people are in the restaurant. And directly above me, as I'm taking an order, the music shoots up very, very loud. And we run over and we turn it down. And this happened several times, and probably throughout the next week or so. And then several times I get in my car and I'm driving to work, or I'm driving home from work, and I just start crying. And the music turns itself to 17 in my car again. And it happened several, like I said, several times after she passed. And then it hasn't really happened for a while. And my husband, you know, he knows I'm into the ghost stories and supernatural. And he's like, you're just looking too much into it, yada, yada, yada. Well, we've come to February now, and we're trying to buy a house, and we're dealing with all of the problems that you would have to go through to get a mortgage and the 20,000 steps. And we're at, like, the second to last step. And it's a lot because they need a lot to be proven and all this different stuff. And then from the server, we're having issues, you know, having them understand that I don't get paychecks from work. I get my cash and I deposit into the bank. That is where my money comes from. And I finally couldn't take it. And I left the bank and I just get in my car and I just start crying. And I'm, you know, I'm like, oh, come on. This is, you know, this is stupid. Here's my pay stubs. Please, please just what is going on? Like, is this going to cause me to not be able to get my house? And one of the big issues was also from grandma's insurance money. We did get a little bit. My mom gave it to me to try and help me get my house so I wouldn't have to borrow against my 401k. And they also started giving us problems with that because it wasn't directly from her insurance to me. It was from her insurance to my mother to me. And we have to, you know, backtrack. They want to make sure I'm not a drug dealer or something crazy as to where all of this money comes from. And when I get in my car and I start crying, the radio is really low. And all of a sudden it just turns to 17. And to go along with my car, I've had it in the shop. I've gotten oil changes. There's no wiring problems that they can find. And with work, we've had several people come in because that radio is shot up several times, depending on where I am in the restaurant. There's three different sections for the nozzles, and each time it's the section that I am standing in. And we've had people come in and look at that, and they say there's nothing wrong. You know, it's not the satellite going up and down. Someone must be turning it up without, you know, us knowing. And then sometimes it's the nozzle is still where it was. Say it was on 3 and it shot up to 5 and it's still on 3, but you have to turn it down to 0 and then back up to 3 to get it at the actual volume that 3 should be on. I'm probably looking into it a little too much, but to me, I just think of it as signs that grandma's still there and she's still watching out. And just a reminder to take it day by day, one step at a time. So that is one of my stories. Thank you very much.
I think it's interesting that that kind of happens at trying times, which, I mean, outside of work, but more so at the funeral and then with dealing with trying to get the mortgage, that I think it's just a reminder that you're not going through this alone.
It's a reassurance thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where you have someone who's guarding going, hey, you know what? I've been through life too, but you'll get through it. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And things change. And it's especially like with this one, it's interesting where it's not just in her car. Cause you could go, well, maybe there's something up with the car radio.
Right.
You know, and that work that happens there and over in different circumstances that, did she mention the song? Is there a certain song or anything that's playing? It seems to be the radio in general.
Just the radio in general.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this call. Hi.
Well, I'm a new listener, and I was hearing some of the stories that other people were saying, and I thought I'd share some of mine. It's still pretty personal, but I'm pretty sure that my dad saved my life not once, but twice. He passed away last year, and around the time of his funeral, I was having a really, really hard time. It hurt me a lot. And the first time I was driving, and I was speeding, I was going, I think, 100 on like a 35 curve. I mean, it was stupid. And I just heard my name. And I immediately hit my brakes, and right around the curve, I couldn't see, but there was a deer. And if I would have kept going the way I was going, I would have died. The second time, it was right after his funeral. I was home, and I had been drinking, and I wanted to be with him so bad. And I kept looking at my sleeping pills, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, if I just take this entire bottle, it'll be over. And just as I was walking up to get it, my phone goes off, which was weird because my phone is always on silent. I never turn the sound up. Well, I found out it was someone from my past had called. And the very first thing he said to me, he goes, are you all right? I just had the worst feeling that something bad was about to happen. Now, he didn't know that my dad had died. He didn't know a single thing. And I got to talking with him about it, and he told me, he said, you know, I don't know why. I hadn't thought about you in a long time, but something told me I needed to call you now. And I'm pretty sure it was my dad looking out for me. Anyway, that's the story. It's a weird one, I guess, but I just thought I would let you guys know about it. Thanks.
I think that's exactly what was going on.
Kind of a reoccurring theme in some of these stories today. Well, yeah, it's someone that's out there that is finding different ways to get the message across.
Mm-hmm.
And what more do you say?
Yeah, I don't know.
It really just kind of defines itself as to what was going on there and how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that experience with us here today on the program. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP at ghostpodcast.com, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. Sign up there. Get all the bonus episodes of the show, advanced episodes, e-copy of the book, and more. And keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.